And so our attention is drawn to the last things. I'm not talking about death and taxes, but death and judgment, resurrection, and eternal life. You know, sometimes I take it for granted all of the things that, you know, I could talk about in a homily, and I take for granted that you know all of this stuff anyway. The realization, my brothers and sisters, that the promise for us to come is that when Jesus comes in His glory, we will experience His resurrection. We, in our bodies, those that have died that have gone before us, will come back and their bodies will be raised up. And all will be raised, all again will possess flesh and blood. But as Jesus was raised and everything was changed and transformed in His resurrection, so too it will be for us. As we hear stories of the resurrection of Jesus, of passing through walls, of appearing and disappearing, so it will be for us. We will share fully in His divinity. And that's why at times when Paul speaks about the future, he says we really don't know yet what it will be like to experience that fullness of resurrection, but we will. We get a hint of that in the first reading today. Speaking about the resurrection, many of those who sleep in the dust on the earth shall awake. Some shall live forever. Others shall be an everlasting horror and disgrace. But the wise shall shine brightly like the splendor of the firmament. And if we lead many to justice, we shall be like the stars forever. It's beautiful, the responsorial psalm today even speaks of this. You are my inheritance, O Lord. Often we get caught up in the inheritance and the life and the death of people and what is passed on from one to the other. We are reminded in the gospel that everything that is of earth will pass away. And so to place our trust in it, to place our hopes in it, everything will pass away. But Jesus will never pass away. If He becomes our inheritance, if He becomes that which we long for, we have an eternal hope in Him. Even the second reading today, the letter to the Hebrews. Now, when you're reading this letter to the Hebrews, I hope you understand that they're talking about the Old Testament priesthood, the Jewish priesthood, right? Because our Catholic Church's priesthood is a sharing in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. But even in the letter to the Hebrews, the author makes the point that Jesus offers Himself once and for all eternity. In His offering of Himself, all sin can be wiped away. And that He sits at the right hand of the Father, waiting for the day for His enemies to be placed under His feet. And those that are being consecrated, those of us who in baptism are entering into new life in Him, who like St. Paul says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Talk about an inheritance, right? That the inheritance that Paul is living out is the inheritance of Jesus Christ. And so we are being consecrated. And where this consecration happens, there is the forgiveness of sin. And entering in, this becomes our inheritance, forgiveness and reconciliation. My brothers and sisters, when we speak about Jesus' second coming, how do you feel about that? What do you think in your heart? Are you sad? Are you worried? Are you anxious? Are you joyful? I'm sure at times, depending on what you think about, you can experience all of these things. But my brothers and sisters, truly, when a friend comes to your home, a friend, whether they are expected or not, whether it is a convenient hour or not, whether you yourself are in a good state or not, a friend comes to your door and knocks at your door, it is always a day of gladness. Isn't it? I'm sure there can be more convenient times, obviously. Especially if I knock at your door at 3 o'clock in the morning, you'll be like, Father, get the heck out of here. What are you doing, you know? But the point being, my brothers and sisters, if it is a friend, there is no condition that would make this not an encounter of joy once you've rubbed the sleep out of your eyes. The only way to turn it and to taint it and to make it into something else is if the one that knocks at your door is not a friend. So often, my brothers and sisters, in thinking that we need to prepare ourselves for Jesus' coming, we begin to act differently. And rightly so, we should, right? But what really should be is not to act differently than who we are, but for who we are to change so that the actions of who we are authentic. Have you ever had to play a role for family, for someone else? I'm not talking about acting. But at times you get pulled into a group or something and you're asked to fulfill a role that you don't normally fulfill, something that's not natural to you, it doesn't come naturally. How exhausting is that, right? When you have to act in a different way, when you have to do things that you wouldn't normally do because, you know, this is the role that they're asking me to fulfill and so I will do it. But it's exhausting, isn't it? And you're sitting there thinking that I cannot wait for the day when I can just go back to being myself. Before I went to seminary, I had a few relationships like that, boyfriend-girlfriend relationships. Where it's like, phew, I was relieved when it was over. I could go back to being myself. Jesus doesn't want you to be actors. He doesn't want you to be burdened and to be anxious and to be frustrated and exhausted by being ready for Him. What He's inviting us to is authentic transformation, an authenticity in our heart, a preparedness always, not because we have enough energy today to be prepared, but because we have become that. We truly long for His coming. Truly look forward to the day when He knocks at our door and says, all right, let's go. And if Jesus were to knock at your door and say, come on, let's go, what would the thing that would rise up within your heart? Well, yes, but let me just go back and... Jesus, there's like a minute and a half left in the Notre Dame game. Come on. Just come on in and watch the rest of it with me, then we can go. I think naturally there are things, if it was as simple as that, Jesus knocking on the door, we answer the door and He says, come, let's go. It's as simple as that. What rises in your heart that says, well, let me go back and get this. Let me go back and tell my family that I love them. Let me go back and do this. My brothers and sisters, this is awesome because whatever rises in your heart, this tells us exactly what we need to work on. If what rises in your heart is, let me go back and tell my family that I love them, then you know what you should be doing today when you get home? Telling your family how much you love them. So that there is never a day or a moment when Jesus knocks at the door and says, let's go. And you say, wait, they don't know that I love them. I need to go back and tell them. Everyone in your family should know that you love them. You see how easy it is? Our heart reveals itself. Yeah, I'll be right with you, Jesus, but first let me go and... So my brothers and sisters, the invitation for us is to always be ready. To have Jesus as our inheritance, Jesus and what he desires to give to us, and that this is truly anything that we hope for and long for eternity is found in him. It's not saying that we would be rude or angry or rejecting of the world and a hatred for the world, but a joyful abandonment to it, that in knowing him we possess everything, that I could simply be generous of the things of this life. So how would you answer the question if Jesus knocked on the door tonight? What feelings and emotions would be there? I know for some of you it would be terribly sad because you were like, but Jesus, the Chiefs are so close to going to the Super Bowl. Sure, you don't want to stay a few more weeks, a couple months maybe? But really, my brothers and sisters, we know what is important. And so I just invite us, prepare our hearts. Be authentic. Don't be playing a role of being a Christian. Decide today that this is what you want to be and be it. Amen.